Good afternoon, members. Chairman's notices. Beware that the meeting is being recorded. In the event of fire, follow the fire exits, health and safety, different levels in the chamber. And also, we're on TV. We're not, because it's not on up there. Here we go. Right. Apologies for absence.
Apologies for absence were received from Councillor Durham and Councillor St Joseph, and in accordance with notice given, Councillor Ms Lewis was acting as a substitute for Councillor Durham and Councillor Mrs Margaret for Councillor St Joseph.
Okay then, thank you. Minutes of the last meeting.
Agreed.
Disclosure of interest. Are there any disclosures of interest of a pecuniary or non-pecuniary? No? Right. Quarterly review of corporate risk agenda item 5.
Thank you, Chairman. So this report is the usual quarterly review of corporate risk, and the report in front of you is the position at the end of quarter one. Appendix 1 highlights the details of the corporate risk and the comments relating to any of the changes. Have questions?
Any questions on the corporate risk? I notice that none have gone up, and I think there was two gone down, so we seem to be getting the grips of it. Right.
Okay.
So,
if I may, please. In view of what happened at Overdene Street...
Which one are we talking about?
Number 14.
Number 14.
In view of what happened...
To protect personnel or commercially sensitive data.
Mm.
Okay.
In view of what happened at Overdene Scrutiny last night, when there was a potential to discuss a business plan, and members were mindful to use a PNC item and have it recorded. Does that mean that if members are to make a similar request in the future, that the actual risk would go up quite considerably?
I don't think we're quite here to discuss the actual risks themselves.
No, but, but if this is going to be something that happens within the authority,
yeah,
would it not increase that risk?
It will.
Yeah.
It will.
So you'll take that forward?
Yeah. I think the plan is that the monitoring officer will be looking into the matter and report to the appropriate committee at a future date.
I'll be very generous. Councillor Savage.
Thank you. I hadn't intended speaking on this particular subject, but as a member of Overdene Scrutiny last night, Stone Aries actually stated that the business plan was already in the public domain, therefore it didn't matter.
Okay. Anyway, I think we're getting into the detail of this.
No, I think that this is indeed a risk.
Yeah, I know, but you're already going to be... It's going to be a report come back to whichever committee it is.
An appropriate committee.
The appropriate committee, okay. Right, any other items on Councillor Fluker?
Chair, page 14, we've got this
What?
The big risk is not actually having them, not actually adopting them. And when you look at the mitigation later on in the report, I mean,
From a crash analysis point of view, I would have thought that we'd be seeing some kind of mitigations there, starting to develop corporate ideas about what happens if the plan is going to be returned to us. Because it seems to me it's all or nothing, and there should be something in the background, I would have thought now, to mitigate that risk. So perhaps that's one that we might like to pick up on. And the other one on the same page was... corporate risk number 10, and it's one that I've never quite understood, and it's the failure to adapt policy to meet the affordable housing need. I mean, I would have thought it's the failure to execute it, because, you know, at the end of the day, we do have an affordable housing policy, and we should execute it. It shouldn't be adapted to suit the needs of developers and being traded off against 106 agreements.
Yeah.
So that risk should be the execution of our own policy, yeah, because we must execute our own policy to make sure that we get 30% and 40% yeah, affordable housing.
Councillor Miss Lewis.
Thank you. This again was discussed at Community Services. It was actually formed part of the Community Services agenda. The changes in affordable housing requirement and how we may have to change it was actually discussed on Tuesday night, and of course it does mean that there has to be an understanding that depending on the delivery rate of housing and affordable housing, that can change quite considerably what the requirement is, because we've had the delay in the local development plan. We've also, it's meant that we haven't been delivering the level of affordable housing that we could have done. But when we had an opportunity to correct that, the authority didn't accept the opportunity. And this again was discussed on Tuesday night. So I think that there is a failure to adapt,
yes,
but it's not necessarily about the policy, it's about the way the authority uses the policy to be adapted.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah,
Councillor Lewis says, because if one, bear in mind what's happened in the last few weeks, and I'm aware of the application Councillor Lewis refers to, but surely, based on what's just been said, that risk should have increased, not decreased, because we clearly have a problem meeting our policy.
Thank you, Chairman. This is, the Appendix 1 shows the position as at quarter 1. So, and obviously, updated information has been received since that date. And when it comes to quarter 2 review of these risks, those scores will be reviewed and the comments will be reviewed accordingly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, thank you.
Councillor Brooker.
Thank
you, Joe. I understand we always work backwards
I presume you're referring to committee structure review,
yeah,
or committee, yeah. The committee structure review itself is part of the internal audit plan, and a report will be presented to council next Thursday for members to consider the terms of reference for that structure review.
So, Chairman, from that one presumes then if council are not mindful to go ahead with this piece of work, then it will cease next Thursday.
Yeah, but we could incur the wrath of the external auditor if we don't review our...
Chairman, I don't understand, because not going ahead with it certainly wouldn't give us any better justification of whether or not our committee structure was fit for purpose or not.
Yes.
The fact that it hasn't been reviewed is the risk.
Yes.
It might not be fit for purpose until we review it, whether it is or it isn't. But if the member is suggesting that we shouldn't review and therefore maintain a risk that could actually be higher, then he needs to say so.
I know what I need to say,
yeah.
Thank you. But at the end of the day, this is quite an expensive piece of work.
Yeah.
And one wonders whether or not, for example, if there was a mood amongst the members that they didn't want to do this, perhaps that £10,000 or £12,000 could have been used for perhaps an audit of tourism or bringing industry into the district.
Yeah, thank you for your comments. And obviously, this topic will be debated at council next Thursday.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
Yeah. Well,
I think the main item in the report to council is to keep an open mind. Okay, then, recommendations. We've been asked to view comments and questions on the appendix. We've done that. review assured the corporate risk is being managed effectively, and that new risk, lack of corporate policies, item under review is added. Is that noted? Thank you. Agenda item 6, statement of accounts, which I'm sure you've all read from cover to cover.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. I do hope that you have read through the appendices page by page, because a lot of work has gone in, both by the officers and also external audit, and we've got Debbie here today at a meeting. I'm going to do a bit of introduction first, and then I'm going to pass it to Debbie in terms of the progress towards the audit of the accounts. At the last committee, so this committee received a copy of the accounting policy, which was used to inform the statement of accounts. As we all know, statement of accounts is pretty much a document that we need to follow, sort of guidance that's been issued by CIFRA. It's pretty much a standard sort of process, and we have to get Section 151 sign off before the end of June, which we did as per previous years as well. So Appendix 1 shows the copy of the unaudited statement of accounts, which is available on our website. And also, at the time of writing this report, and also we are still working with the auditors in terms of the audit of the accounts, but they have issued an interim report, which is shown in Appendix 2. And I'm going to pass it to Debbie, who can just take you to Appendix 2, and before I come back and close the introduction of the report.
Thank you. If I can take you through the purpose of the audit results report, which includes the appendix. As Carl's already said, this is an interim report which is updating you on the status of the work at the current time. We're doing the audit in two stages this year. We came and did an early initial audit, and then we're coming back in about a week or so's time to conclude the audit before the deadline of the end of September. I would say the first stage of the audit has gone well. We focus largely on the balance sheet, but have also undertaken some work on some of the sensitive notes, such as the remuneration report, which is obviously one of those areas that tends to get a greater level of maybe public interest than some of the other areas of the accounts. And from the work we've undertaken to date, we've got no issues arising that we need to bring to your attention. We've also largely concluded our work on the value for money conclusion, where we had identified a risk around the financial challenges that the council is facing along with other councils. And we're pleased to note that from our work we've done to date on looking at the council's plans and arrangements to address those risks, and we expect to issue an unqualified value for money conclusion when we finish our work as well. If I can just highlight to you the executive summary. We've highlighted in there to you the status of the audit work, and I'll take you through Appendix A in a moment just to highlight what work we remain to do. And as we've said, we found no audit differences that we need to bring to your attention at this stage. We've actually completed a number of the audit procedures that we've noted on page 1 of the report, which is in relation to our remuneration disclosures and members' allowances, and we found no issues in relation to either of those areas. If I can then take you over, we've also undertaken work, and I've set out a little bit more detail in Section 3 of the report, which highlights the main risks that we identified in our audit plan and the work that we've undertaken to date against those key risks. The first one of those risks was the general risk of management override, which we identify in relation to all of our plans. This is one area where we were hoping to have actually done more work at stage one, but because it's the first year of our audit with Maldon Council, we have something called our analytics procedures, where we basically get downloads from the council's general ledger, and we use that to do both our I&E testing and also to test all the council's journals. And I think we did have a few teething problems, probably from both sides, in terms of working through that data to get the data in 100% accurate format that we can use for our work. We have received that. We received that at the end of our first on-site visit, so we'll now be completing that work when we come back with our second visit. We also highlight a risk of fraud in revenue recognition, and we said that risk was primarily related to incorrect capitalisation of revenue spend, and also we look at areas such as estimates. We've completed our work looking at your estimates and also look at the capitalisation of spend in year, and we're happy with both those areas, and there's no issues to bring to your attention. We've still got some further work to do in relation to, as I said, the I&E account, but we're not expecting any issues to emerge from that. The other area which we haven't yet done was the risk around assets under construction, which is where you had a large, I think about 11 million of assets under construction in your accounts last year, which related to the leisure centre. Those have now come into operational assets, and so we just need to check that those values have been correctly included in the accounts with the correct accounting entries, and that the valuers have valued the assets on the appropriate basis, because obviously that's a different valuation basis than last year. We've also completed our testing of your controls of the housing benefit system, where we plan to place reliance on a combination of controls and substantive work, and we've got no issues to bring to your attention in relation to that work either. I'd then really just like to take you to Appendix A, which is the outstanding audit matters. We've listed there the areas that we'll be doing on our second visit, so as I've said already, we'll be doing the journals and the I&E testing, which is very much linked to some of our analytics data. We're also waiting for some external confirmations on investments. We'll conclude our work on the property, plant and equipment, and also on pensions disclosure, where again we receive external confirmations, and it's fairly straightforward work in terms of checking those figures between the actuaries' reports and what goes into your financial statements. So those are pieces of work we'll do at the end. The movement and reverse statement.
Could I just ask, you can? I can't find an Appendix A.
On page 104. Sorry. There's too many a lot of appendices, aren't there?
It does, yeah. If you refer to the page numbers, those who are watching on the internet in New Zealand will be out of fire.
Page 104. So as I said, pensions and IS19 disclosures, we have received work basically that our pensions team undertake looking at the actuaries' work, and we'll be taking that into account. And as I said, it's really just then checking through the figures have been posted correctly on your statements. The NNDR appeal we'll revisit again when we come on our second visit. The movements in reserve statement is a fairly straightforward piece of work that we do at the end, because any changes that we make anywhere else in the accounts flow through generally into the MERS, so that's just checking consistency between that section of the accounts and the other statements. And then the collection fund, which is around council tax analytical review and business rates analytical review to complete. So those are the areas we'll complete before the end of September. The only other sections within the report are basically a section which confirms to you our independence from the council, which is on page 105. We include a copy of what we expect to issue as your audit report on page 107 to 109, which is an unqualified audit report. And then it's Appendix 2, which is on page 110. We have a copy of our management representation letter, which we ask this committee to approve. And then we ask for that to be signed by the Director of Resources and the Chairman of the Audit Committee. But we normally ask for that to be signed as close as possible to the date of the opinion, ideally on the same date. It's a fairly standard letter. There are certain areas that we always ask for representations on, which are generally around the fact that we've had full access to information, there's no frauds that we haven't been made aware of, etc. And then we do include on page 112 and 113, section G and H, which is in relation to where the council has used specialists and produced estimates for its PPE, investment properties, pensions liabilities and business rates figures. And we're asking you to confirm that you agree with the work of your specialists that you've used in those particular area, and that you're happy with the estimates procedures that have been applied to derive those figures, because they are estimates which require a degree of judgment. So those are the additional representations we ask in relation to those. Very happy to take any questions in relation to anything within the report.
Any questions? We're asked to recommend the unaudited statement of accounts to be noted to the audit results noted, and the final approval delegated authority to the chair, myself and the Director of Resources to sign off the accounts. You're pushing your luck, Councillor Savage, but go on.
Thank you very much, Chairman. If I say I'm here this afternoon because it's an afternoon meeting, I've never been to one, and I understand that Council wants to...
What's your question?
...go that way. My question is, could you help me with the accounts? I can't seem to find a loan to Stowe Mary's. You recall the one that went out 18 months before the contract was signed.
Yeah.
And having been in a finance director's office where a copy of the contract was, I believe it's 25,000 on that contract to be this month. Could you explain where I would find it in the accounts? I mean, that's all, thank you.
Do we need notice? Can we...
I am going to have a meeting with you, Councillor Savage, in order to address your question, you know, which I have already answered before. So it's not appropriate for this committee, and I will schedule a meeting with you separately on this.
Just a supplementary, Chairman.
I can confirm that the Director of Finance did give me an answer, but at the time it was unsatisfactory.
All right.
Could I ask, was that pursued at the time then, if it was unsatisfactory, or has he waited till a public meeting before he said it?
My understanding of it is that I left the meeting assuming that you were happy with my answer. But I'm happy to, you know, reschedule a meeting with you.
Yeah, okay.
Well, if I could just come back. My recollection of their meeting was I was unhappy, and it was actually to come up on the agenda
for
the scrutiny committee.
Can you deal with that outside the meeting?
So it was still ongoing.
Agree the recommendations.
Agree.
Thank you. Agenda item 7, updates from the external auditor on appendix 1.
Internal audit.
So this starts on page 119 of your pack, and these are our regular sector audit committee briefings that we bring. So they are general for local government, so some of the issues within this are not necessarily relevant for district councils such as Maldon, but some of them are. So I think probably the easiest thing is to take you to the key questions for the audit committee, which are on page 125. That lists there a number of questions, two of which are probably less relevant to you as a council, but if I just run through each of them, I think that would probably be the easiest way. Yeah. The first one of which is probably a very topical issue, which is the action, whether the council has considered the potential impact of the EU referendum decision. We've listed on page 120 some of the potential impacts. I think particularly where councils receive European funding, that's obviously those councils could be significantly impacted as a result of the decision. Migration could obviously also be an area that's affected, could have a knock-on effect on councils, and where people have a lot of workers from potential overseas, again, that is an area that could be impacted. Some of these are very difficult to estimate at the moment, and many councils that we're talking to are sort of seeing different levels of impact on this depending on their demographics. We're seeing maybe more impact in the health sector at the moment, where there are a lot of overseas workers, and the care sector. So again, I think it's just something that councils need to keep their eye on. Business rates, again, is another potential issue for maybe some of those larger councils that have got foreign companies that are making decisions about where they sort of base their future business. So we're just flagging that really as something that you may want to keep on your agenda and determine if at any point it needs to come onto your risk register if there are specific issues start to emerge from that. There's then also, we ran some workshops in terms of changes to off-payroll working in the public sector, which in summary sort of shift the responsibility for making sure that the correct deductions are being made and paid over to central government from maybe intermediary companies to the actual sort of end employer, as in the council. Again, this has got different levels of impact for different councils, but it's just something that you need to be aware of, because we do know of some clients where they've actually potentially having some sort of fairly significant impacts from this in terms of their liabilities to make the relevant deductions. So it's really just to flag that. There's also some changes proposed, which are highlighted on page 121, in terms of how election results are reported. So again, something the council will need to be aware of in terms of future elections. The next two, I think, are probably of less impact. One is around the government internal audit agency, where there's some changes undergoing, and the level of work that body is doing is increasing. And Highways Network Assets, which I'm sure Carl will be very happy, do not apply to district councils and are purely something that county councils and London boroughs and Mets are having to deal with. So that's not an issue that would concern you. And then the final one was really just a report that NAO has issued, which is looking at financial sustainability and has very much looked at sort of the pressures that councils are facing, how they're responding to those pressures. So maybe a document that you're interested in looking at more generally. But interestingly, I think one of the things they highlighted was that there's reduced revenue income, but the capital programmes of authorities don't yet seem to be being sort of changed and impacted in quite the same way. And some of the questions they're raising are around how can councils maybe minimise their spending on debt servicing and also maximise some spend on assets and look at how they sort of potentially flex their budgets in some way. So again, it might be an interesting document worth having a look at.
Thank you. Any comments on Councillor Fluker?
Chairman, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. So I refer to you as, I think you're the executive. Are you an executive director? You can call me councillor and I'll call you the executive director. You mentioned NDA. Chairman, through you. You mentioned NDA, although in your report this time, I can't actually pick up on it anywhere, but... bear in mind where we are in our local authority. Do you feel as though we're taking the correct steps to mitigate not collecting NDA and doing everything we possibly can to collect where people are defaulting?
I'm assuming you're referring to business rates?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an NDR, yeah. We've only referred to it there as a potential impact from the EU referendum, so basically saying that there could be impact if some larger businesses basically pull out of the UK, and that probably is not something which impacts significantly on Maldon, but we do have some clients that have some very large sort of internationals, and if they relocate, there's an effect on business rates for that particular area. As you'll probably be aware, there's a lot of proposed changes in relation to the localisation of business rates, which are still being consulted on. There's still a lot of uncertainty in terms of how much local authorities will actually retain under those proposals. And again, I think with all the changes that central government's dealing with at the moment, how quickly that moves forward now is a potential question, because the central government is focusing on a lot of other activities that they're having to deal with at the moment. So I'm not quite sure. Carl will probably have a better update than I have on localisation of business rates. But we don't specifically look at your collection other than auditing in the financial statements what your levels of arrears are and determining that's materially correct and that you're making an adequate bad debt provision against those arrears.
Come back. Yeah. I think if you did look, I think you'd be delighted with what you see, because we've got an extraordinary recovery rate for NDR. But Chairman, the other issues that come to my mind, I think with you, I'll bring up the director afterwards. Thank you.
Councillor Lewis.
Thank you. I wonder if you could tell me, has there been any update on how, well, not just councils, but everybody will stand, but councils particularly because of our procurement requirements, on the effect of no longer having to go through urgent notices at the time of procurement post-Brexit, because the sorts of contracts that we would need to put through are due take a long time to come to fruition. It could well be that if we were to, for example, decide to build a hospital now, we would have to put that through are due, but by the time we came to put a spade in the ground, we would hopefully be well and truly Brexited. So how is it going to change the way we look at our procurement, and what are the implications of those changes in the way that we ask people to bid for work? It was something that was discussed at the local government conference, and everybody scratched their heads and said, all right.
I think that's a bit hypothetical until you know what the rest of
it is. At the moment, you have to comply with the legislation that's in place at the moment. So yeah. That's all we can say now. There could well be changes to that. I guess, as you say, we're all speculating.
We have to comply with the legislation. We're guessing without seeing the drawings.
No, what I'm saying is, because we know that Brexit is to mean Brexit, so something will happen. We don't know quite what time frame. Is there anything that we can do in terms of risk to us of being still compliant with a proper procurement process? Do we need to put anything in place? Has there been any update on it? Because certainly it was suggested at the local government conference that this was being looked at.
I haven't seen anything on that. I mean, I think, again, you've got procurement people and officers within the council that would probably be better placed at the moment to look at that. But I think the key thing is the legislation in place now determines what you have to work to, and the whole likelihood would be, I would suspect, that there will be still something similar in terms of wanting to ensure, because the procurement legislation is there to ensure that you get the best procurement idea, though sometimes it can feel very onerous.
Anyway, I think we've had enough. There's a recommendation to note the updates in Appendix 1, is that agreed? Right, performance against the internal audit plan. Andrew.
Thank you, Chair. So this is an update on the plan that was agreed by this committee back in March earlier this year. So we're currently working through the pieces of work that were agreed. We have made some changes to the plan following further discussions with the Finance Director. That has led to some rescheduling of the work and some changes to some of the pieces of work that were originally approved. So I'll just quickly talk you through those. The main changes are in respect of, first of all, on page 4 of our report, the data protection piece of work. We've increased the days there because some additional rules that are currently coming through from the European Union, so probably won't actually end up being implemented, but to make sure that your data protection arrangements are compliant with what is in place at the moment and that you've got plans to and resources available to change anything that might need to change in the future. So we'll just increase some of the time there. On page 5 of our report, the information management piece was originally planned to be happening around about now, but because of the personnel changes that the department is going through, it's been agreed to put that back a bit later once things have settled down a bit within that department, so I think that makes sense. On page 7, we did have a piece of work planned on budget and performance management, but again the decision has been taken to defer that piece of work because of the new performance review system that's coming in, so it makes more sense to actually do that piece of work on the new system rather than the current system, which is on its way out.
Sorry, could you just have the page numbers, the bolder page numbers?
Sorry, I've got a different I've got a different format to you, so it's more difficult for me to see. So the
page 7 is 139.
Page 139, sorry, Councillor Hurd.
Thank you.
They're very carefully printed over your numbers.
On the version that I'm using, yes.
Right, so moving through.
So there are no changes onto page 140. And page 141, the shared services piece of work, it was decided that would be removed and that it would be a better use of the time to focus more on the income generation piece of work, because that's something where the council is very keen to develop income generation.
Yeah.
And it was felt there wasn't a huge appetite for investigating shared services further, and so it was agreed that would be a sensible use of the available audit resource. On planning services, we've increased the days to 15 because of some of the challenges that were mentioned earlier for the planning team and the work they're having to do to make sure you're fully compliant with all the requirements. And on page 142, the inventory and stock piece of work, that was focused, was always going to be focused on the Tourist Information Centre. And sort of with my knowledge of what happens down there, I think it didn't require a 10-day review, and therefore we've reduced the time there to 5 days and reallocated those days. And then the final piece of work, which was discussed slightly earlier, was the committee structure piece of work, which, because of the relationship between ourselves and CFPS in doing that piece of work, the time there has been increased to 20 days. And I would encourage the council to pursue that piece of work with an open mind. It is good practice to review your governance structures, and as you do have to report in your annual governance statement each year, that's happened. And any recommendations that are forthcoming from that piece of work would be for the council to decide upon. So this is really a case of trying to inform the council of what options are out there and what may be best going forward. But it will nonetheless be for the council to decide at the end of the day. So that would be what I'd like to say. Happy to take any questions.
Councillor Fluker.
Thank you, Chairman. On page 9, I think it is, of your report, page 141 of ours.
141?
Yeah, 141. The shared services, was this taken out as a result with of a conversation with the Director of Resources, or because I don't recall this committee agreeing to this.
It was, yes. That was it was felt that the resources would be better utilised elsewhere, because there's, and as I said earlier, the focusing on the income generation piece of work, because I think there's scope for that to actually produce some significant results, or some worthwhile results at least. Whereas it was felt that there wasn't a real appetite for pursuing further shared services at the current time, and therefore that would not really be worthwhile.
Okay, so that was an officer-led decision, so I'm clear in my mind.
It was, yeah.
Okay. And just one final one. I just wanted to go back to committee structure. I noticed that you've increased that to 20, and I can understand the merits behind this piece of work. But am I correct in presuming that CFPS are making a contribution to this piece of work? And if so, does that obviously mean that you're going to increase the piece of work to take it from 12 to 20 days? Because I would have thought that your 12 days would have remained the same, and perhaps we could have offloaded the CFPS contribution against your charging of 12 days, and then we could use that on perhaps something else.
It says in the report that the funding comes from the LGA.
I beg your pardon, the LGA.
Yeah.
The question still stays the same.
Yeah.
I think the idea is that it's going to, because of the way we're working with CFPS, there'll be a bigger remit for us within that relationship, because I think they've been slightly challenged on that LGA funding, so the extent to which they're going to be able to contribute is up for discussion at the moment.
Okay, Councillor, you finished?
Yeah,
Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. Just to clarify, we've got the same number of days, because I tried to add up the pluses and the minuses.
It would have been handy if there had been a little scholarship.
See a refund coming our way for a moment. But the other thing is that although it's fine to read it on the pad with red writing, yeah, it doesn't copy terribly well. No, I just wonder if we could either bold it or underline it or something, if there are any changes.
That's quite a good point, Councillor Hurd, and what we'll do, the format of this will be different next time, because there'll be reports coming through with the actual results of the work that we've been doing, so it will look different. It'll be a different format next time. Okay. When it comes to you.
Thank you very much.
Any more questions? Right, what have we got to do here? Internal audit plan. The progress against the 1670 audit plan is noted.
Noted.
Agreed? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so, agenda item, whatever it is, number 9. Any other items of business? I have none. So I'll close the meeting at 3:28. 38.